Thank you. May be seated. Sure, we're glad to be back in the house of the Lord again this evening. And I know we didn't have so much time between service in order to get back, but sometimes services have to be a little bit longer than we anticipate. Now, never forget your faith in the Lord this morning, where you take Him at His word according to how the prophet taught us. This is such a departure from what we have thought to be the truth that we might sometimes just wonder a little bit, but we mustn't wonder. Something like Daddy Bosworth said, he said, don't doubt your faith. He said, if you must doubt, doubt your doubts. They're unreliable. Now, this is where we stand with the Word. We don't doubt the prophet. Many people sort of doubt the prophet because they've had preconceived ideas, but you must never doubt the prophet. If you must doubt, doubt yourself. In other words, I mean by that to take his word against yours. I just recalling on the sidewalk out there to Brother Earl and Brother Barker, we came up coming into service that way back in about 1960, I was trying to get my time right, and it would be in 1960, perhaps 61 at the latest, that I had an experience with Brother Branham through the trance and vision that actually gives us a good insight on the authenticity of the message preached this morning based on what he taught us. Back in 53, when the Lord caused Brother Branham to come to West Palm Beach, based upon a sovereign act, which told us that God would send His prophet out of the north, and He would teach the people the things they ought to know. And so we wondered how that prophecy would be fulfilled. It was given publicly, and therefore had many witnesses to it. And that's when I got to know of Brother Branham, in the sense that a door was open to get to know him personally rather than just know him from sitting in the meetings. And when I met him in 53 and spoke with him, he said, now I'm going to come to West Palm Beach and give you a meeting. Well, of course, I thought that that was very sweet, but it would never come to pass because he was too busy and too great a man. I didn't know that God was in it. So he had Brother Bosworth phone me to set the date because I was holding him up. And the date was set, and he came according to the prophecy to teach the people the things they ought to know. And those in the meeting who had heard him previously said that he had never taught as he taught in those meetings. Now, of course, it was all over my head because I was not aware that this was the one who was to come and fulfill the prophecy, that he was to teach the people things they ought to know. During that meeting, we sat in the Viking Motel, where he was nicely hidden away from the people, and we began discussing the subject of the evidence of the Holy Ghost, which in those days I believed you had to speak in tongues if you really received the Holy Ghost. Not to speak in tongues to receive the Holy Ghost, but if you had received the Holy Ghost, it would then be axiomatic or automatic that you would speak with tongues. So he said, no, the evidence is love. So I asked him why it wasn't tongues. Well, he said, because tongues can be counterfeited. Well, that was no never mind to me, because I thought, well, what's the difference? Anything can be counterfeited, and if you, as long as you got the original, you were safe and secure, so who cared about the counterfeit? I wasn't worried about counterfeit, the bogey thing, as long as I had the real. That was up to the other fellow to figure that one out. But we went on, and he said, there's love. Well, I said, you mean to tell me love can't be counterfeit? And he said, no, it can't be. Well, I said, Brother Branham, would you feel that the greatest proof of a man's love would be to give his life? He said, that's right. Well, I said, the Bible says, though I give my body to burn and have not love. I said, what about that? He said, you got me. So he sat in one corner and I sat in the other corner. He was still convinced it was love, and I was still convinced it was tongues. And he couldn't prove other and I couldn't prove other. So we sort of neutralized. We were polarized there temporarily. But later on, I began to see that tongues could not be the evidence. And it looked more and more like the love would be the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost. So in 1961, I was enduring a very great trial, and it had broken me up sufficiently to know that that I really needed something more in my life, and I began to doubt then what in the world the evidence of the Holy Spirit was. And whatever the evidence was, I sure wanted to have the evidence and the Holy Spirit. So I phoned him and told him about my terrible plight. I'd been weeping for days and all broken up, literally, I guess, over a period of weeks. Well, I said, "Now, Brother Branham, I never asked you to ever do anything like this for me in your life, but or in our times together, but many people have. Now, would you just seek the Lord if I come down and see if God would show you something?" Well, he said, "Sure." So he phoned me. He said, "I'm going away now." So we had to set the date quickly. And that very morning, which I was home on a Sunday, I drove right down and got there right around noon. So he finished preaching, and I waited for him. And we went out to a place where the vision never fails to come. And he said, "Now, if there's going to be a vision, it'll come here." But he said, "Of course, I don't know if it will come." Well, I said, that's fine by me. So here I am worrying about whether I had the Holy Spirit, whether I had the evidence or this or that and the other thing, very broken up. The vision came instantaneously, and in the vision he saw a pyramid, and he said, "Now, Lee," said, "you'd like to inquire," and he kind of flattered me about my mind, which is not as sharp as some people think it is. I have a very sharp tongue, but not a very sharp mind. And a big difference. You better believe it. And so he said some very nice things, and he said, "See," he said, "you are looking into British Israel." And he said, "Leave it alone. Now, if you're astute, you'll catch it." And that is that the Holy Spirit corrected my doctrine and led me into truth. See, now back in 61, both Brother Branham and I could have known and should have known that that was the evidence of the baptism with the Holy Ghost to be led into truth. But neither he nor I actually stumbled to it. Then God revealed to him, as you'll find in Broken Cisterns, he mentions, that God gave him a vision. I don't know if that was a vision or not. It could have been. He never did say what the vision was. To show him what the evidence really was, and then he brought it out. The evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost was to keep you with the Word. Now, you'll notice that the restoration, which Brother Branham spoke of and continually kept talking about, he said, justification, sanctification, baptism with the Holy Ghost, right? Now, this is what we're looking for, and don't you know that actually what we talked about this morning has come into being on the grounds that the Word has been corrected, the Holy Spirit loosed from the creeds and dogmas, and now we're flowing right into it, see? Now, here's where we stand. And you can see that what he taught was absolutely the Word of God, but it was covered through the veil of the creeds and the dogmas. And men looking through the eyes anointed with the creed and dogma could never come to the truth, because the eyes must be anointed by the Holy Ghost. And the anointing by the Holy Ghost is 100% with the Word. Now, you see, it's not the Holy Ghost simply bringing in the Word. They've got to be together. They come simultaneously. See, people understand that. They say, "Well, I'm going to get the Holy Ghost and get that revelation." In this day, it's the Spirit is being manifested by the very revealed Word. They're just one. You can't separate them. You just can't do it. For anybody say he has the Holy Spirit and reject his Word, he's just fooling himself. The truth isn't in him. See, we're right in that day now. Complete restoration, complete revelation, back to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. And it's one beautiful big thing. As Brother Branham mentioned, it's just one great big beautiful thing. And I know there are many facets to it, but it's all one. So here we stand today, and put your faith where it belongs, right in that Word. And don't be afraid of it, because you've got no place else to go. There's no place else to go. If you deny this, you'll just have to deny your life, that's all. When the disciples, Jesus said, "Will you go away?" Remember, the disciples said, "To whom should we go? We're persuaded. We know that you alone have the words of eternal life." See, they couldn't go back to where they came from, and there was no place in the future. It was abiding right with that Word. See? And here's where we stand. There's no place to go. You can't go backward, because you done left it. You know, Peter tried to go back, and you know what Paul said? He said, "If I build again the thing which I destroyed," he said, who sinned, me or God? Peter couldn't go back and build the thing again which he destroyed. See? You can't do it. How can you go back to the very thing you came out of? See? Why, my, that'd prove you're so deluded and so foolish. You couldn't... Why, no one could trust you. You couldn't trust yourself. Why, you'd be a complete shambles as far as your faith's concerned. See? Won't work. See, there's no place forward to go except in the strength of what you got. You got to continue in what you have. See, and we stand on the full, sure foundation of the revealed word. There's just no place to go from, thus saith the Lord. That's the most fantastic thing that's happened in history. Here it is when nobody was looking for a thus saith the Lord prophet. Like I said this morning, Daddy Bosworth, he was looking for the ministry of Christ to come down to earth again, but he didn't know what that ministry really meant. Because when the ministry came down to earth here, in Brother Branham, as it says in Luke 17, 26 on to 30, do you know when they were in Africa, Brother Bosworth, now Brother Branham, listen to me, I'm an old timer. Why, he said, you've got the thing that'll set the world on fire. You've got the ministry. It was ministry, ministry, ministry. When Brother Branham knew in his heart, it was message, message, message. Daddy Bosworth didn't know. I guess he actually died not realizing the scope of what was in this world, which was the ministry vindicating the man, authenticating him as the one to whom you look for the word. Just what Jesus said. He said, except for the fact, he said, no other man has done what I've done. But he said, now that no other man's ever done what I've done, then now he said, they have no excuse for their sins. In other words, it was the great ministry of the hour that authenticated Jesus Christ to be the revealer of the word. Now, there are lots of men in Jesus' day casting out devils. Why, he said, by whom do your sons cast out devils? You know, people got an idea in the days of Jesus, nothing was going on. You know, they thought, oh my, look back in your own thinking on Israel. Why, you thought they're a bunch of hardened, scurvy, old, crummy sinners. Nobody had a thing. Just sitting there humping over the world, hump, hump, hump. Listen, they were casting out devils. There was prophecy. God was amongst them. See? Now, though, Jesus came on the scene, and he had the capstone ministry, and nobody could stand up to him in that ministry. See? And it authenticated him, but they wouldn't listen to him. We've had the same thing today. We had a man with, thus saith the Lord. See? And that thus saith the Lord never once failed. Even if that had only come just one time, that was enough to stand on that ministry and to say, and nobody else has it. In every way, shape, and form, it's been the great ministry of the ages. And what was it for? Not to establish you in a ministry of power, but to establish us in the truth. Because nobody can worship Christ except spirit and in truth. It doesn't say power now. It says spirit and truth. See? And all but the very elect are deceived. And here we are at this end time. What a tremendous ministry God allowed us to not only to see, but to be a partaker of that very same word. Because you got to partake of the word. Remember that when God sent the manna, Moses ate the same manna that Israel ate. There's no difference between the word that the prophet brings and the prophet lives on and what you and I, except we don't bring it, we just receive it. We're eating on the same body word. The same life. There's no difference at all. See? What is it? You just have these messengers. They're partakers of the first fruit before you and I are. They're sort of a first fruit in the ministry. But they partake of the same that we partake of. Absolutely. See? When Aaron was the first high priest, then the high priest year after year could go behind that veil and where the golden vessel was and take out a bit of manna and eat it. It was identical. See? What Moses brought to Aaron and then was put away there, they all had a portion. 7 ages. There's been a portion of this word. And remember, the people are partakers of the very thing that gave life to the man, see, that brought the word. Many people just get so in doubt about this, they don't know their standing when you see a great man like Brother Branham. You say, oh my. Well, look, don't oh my it. You can never be what he was. No matter how hard you try. Many people tried to have the discernment ministry. I remember one day, Brother Bose came and said, you know, there's a man in down there, I think Peru or Chile or someplace in South America, got the very ministry Brother Branham has. So I went to Brother Branham, and I said, Brother Branham, I'm told by Brother Bose that there's a man in South America got the same ministry you got. He said, Brother Branham, I want to tell you something. Nobody's got this ministry while I live. Nobody ever did have. Somebody just saw a few miracles and signs and got carried away. Well, you know, you might get carried away sometimes, get carried too far and in the wrong direction. That's bad. See, it's not the ministry. That's just the thing that mighty ministry is to stop us in our tracks. And remember, no other man had that. It was a vindication to bring on that word. Now then, if the word is what we're after, then stay with that word. See, then watch out what the prophet did. Now, when people came and wanted to receive the Holy Ghost, he laid hands on them, and he said, they've received the Holy Ghost. And he said, from that minute, you just go right down that road. See? Just don't stay away from it. I know that that's just a million miles from what we were taught. But he said, it's without evidence, it's without sensation. See? There we are. So, if he said it, he's vindicated, we believe it. Now, to believe something else, you'll never get it. Somebody else comes along and says, now, I don't agree with Brother Branham. Bless God, I had a great sensation. Hallelujah. Go ahead. Now, you want to follow that man, you're going to miss it. See, where do you stand? See, I'm just trying to build your faith to show you where you stand. It doesn't matter what anybody else said. Now, I could stand up here and tell you the truth out of my heart. I feel like a hypocrite preaching like I did this morning and lay hands on the people. But I'd feel like a bigger hypocrite if I didn't do it. Because it hasn't got a thing to do with me. I couldn't give you the Holy Ghost. Brother Brand said, you people go home and apply the token. How in the world can anybody apply the Holy Ghost? There's no man living can give the Holy Ghost except God. Giving them himself. What do? You go and take that word in your family and stand with it. Then watch that word work. If there's seed there, cover them right over and bring them right in. Now, what do this morning? The only thing I can do is bring that same word to you, and if you stand with it, believe me, you're going to come right into that fullness. You can't help it. Why? Because it's thus saith the Lord of the prophet, not Levi. I don't have a thing to do with it. Bless God, I could come to you in the scurviest looking outfit you ever saw and be the most, as Brother Brandon was here, the illegitimate looking thing you ever saw in your life, and I could be carrying a piece of the purest refined gold in this world, and you could take that gold. Now, I've stuck with that word just the way he gave it. I read you quote after quote, showed you scripture after scripture, exactly what the Bible said. It's 100% what Brother Branham taught, clear as I could make it, though I don't pretend to have made it very clear, but evidently it came across clear enough. Now, stand with it. See? Stand with it. It'll get you there. Nothing else will. No, sir, nothing else will. He said, nothing else will come to life that's outside of this message. My, what a bold statement. You talk about John saying, he that's of God heareth us. Brother Branham said the same thing, but he put it in such a way you couldn't get offended. Of course, you can get offended, but he put it in such a way he was really saying, if you don't hear me, you're not of God. I love that. I don't know about other folk, but I like to know I'm standing on something that's 100% real where Scripture doesn't cut Scripture. All mixed up with ideas and creeds and dogmas and women preachers and short skirts and fuzzy hair and cut hair and this mishmash and that mishmash phooey. And hogwash. Got them both in. I didn't want to disappoint you. I want to let you know where it stood. See? Nothing else is going to come to life. Well, if nothing else will come to life, and this is life, and we're with it, we've taken stands. Remember, it doesn't say, whose side is God on? It says, who is on God's side? Remember, that was Moses. See, and Christ said, my sheep hear my voice. Now, this is where we stand tonight. Don't you stand with me, except I stand with that word. And if I stand with that word, you be friendly with me and take my hand. I'll do the same with you. But brother, sister, we can't get away from that word. I don't care what anybody says. Remember, we're in the end time revelation. And what it is, the opening of those seals and those thunders was explaining the whole thing. And the whole thing through all the ages has been Christ the Word. And we missed it. We didn't know. until the brother came by vindication and opened the whole thing. And what did those seven messengers do when they came to him? It was word, 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 word. See? What came forth? Word. Exegesis. The only begotten hath thoroughly exegeted him. Absolutely explained by words. As I've said many a time, and you've heard me say it, if I could stand up here and I'd say, now look, folks, you've had faith in me because Brother Branham said certain things, and being in touch with him, that's fine. Now, but all I've got to confess to you now, I've been a hypocrite. I've been lying. I had no use for Brother Branham, what he taught, not at all. Supposing I came and told you that. So I didn't have a bit of use for him in the message. I just saw a good thing and said, I'll rope myself in. Now, it'll be a big thing. You're riding his coattails. And then just pretend I know certain things and just say, yes, 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 the prophet, and now I got you all food. You know what you'd say? You'd say, for the first time I see Lee Vail as exactly how he is. Why? Because by words I would have exposed myself. Now, of course, I never got with Brother Branham to fool people. When I laid aside every bit of my ministry, every little ounce of finances, I gave every bit of my life to him to write those church ages. You might not know that, but that's, I'm standing here before God. I wouldn't lie to you. My Bible open. I took a chance because I wanted to serve. And I did love him, and I do love him, and love this message. But supposing I'd been a hypocrite, see, the only way you'd know is by me telling you. And that's the only way you know God is if God unveils himself by his word. Amen. That's exactly the truth. See? They didn't know who Jesus was. The world couldn't tell, and the world still can't tell. It's got to take that word. Then, brother, sister, listen to me. If only the Holy Ghost can do it. There's only one way you can know God, and that's by the word revealed. And if you saw Christ revealed at this end time, then you'd have to have the Holy Ghost. Now, you follow me? Sometimes I've got to use these extreme illustrations in order to get the point across. But there is no such thing as a revelation of anybody, and you don't know anybody unless that person absolutely unveils himself from his heart and just goes ahead and blurts it all out. You don't know what he's like. Neither can anybody know God except by the revelation of the Word. You can't. You say, well, I know God by nature. That's not true. The best you can know there is a God and find out certain ways how he works. But you don't know if there's one, two, three, four, or half a dozen. And when you look around and you say, well, how come that person didn't get saved and that fella did? Then you accept by the word, by knowing the word that brings out election and foreknowledge, you'd never know how it was. Jacob have a love, Esau have a hated. There's got to be a revelation, see? And here all the secrets come tumbling out. It's always been Christ, that word. And now, when Christ comes into full view, the full mystery of God is the full word of God made bare. There it is. What he's been doing before the ages, what he was doing during the ages, what he's going to do after, it all came out. You show me anybody in any book of theology that laid it bare like Brother Branham did. Can't do it. There's nobody. That's why he could stand up and say, if I tell you a lie, I'm a hypocrite. Nobody else could say that. And a lot of people say it, but they're just kidding themselves. They're just sincere liars, that's all. Just sincerely mistaken. But Brother Branham, when he made that statement, was telling you that he could go to the trance and vision and go right to God for the answer. If an answer was available for the hour, he could get that answer. Then if he'd come back and tell us a lie, he'd be the biggest hypocrite living. But he couldn't tell us a lie. Because the words of the prophet are the thoughts of God, and he can only speak what God tells him to speak. You say, well, I believe I could see otherwise. Sure you could, because you're not a prophet. You know, God's prophets are in a straitjacket. How many times have you heard Brother Branham say he was in a straitjacket? He was. How many times have you heard him tell on tapes how it is that God literally forced him through a tube? Now, you know how he'd complain about that, because that's what God made him do. But that was the proof there to show you that he was in a straitjacket with this word. I can get up here and go off base. Yeah, he couldn't get off base. How in the world could you have a prophet get off base when God's in the prophets bringing the word? See? How could that man get off base when the word of God descends by the prophet's spirit? And it's in the Spirit, you know the things of God. Then when the Word of God descends by His Spirit is so constituted in the sight of God that He can't get off a base because it's a channel. See? Now you can pour water through a straw, but you can't pour thick molasses through it. That's how Brother Branham was made. Now a lot of things could be poured through you and me, but never through that. See, he had a ministry. See, God, you see, what the point is here, you and I go by hit and miss. And you and I go by experience. But God doesn't go by experience. God goes by sovereignty. Then the experience comes out. See, God being omniscient had a blueprint. God being omnipotent could put His blueprint and did put His blueprint into order. That's why I can't figure out if people say, they misunderstand Brother Branham, you see, when he said God works by foreknowledge. And then he told the Pentecost right their faces in Beaumont, Texas, way back there. I forget, 55 or so. No, it was, what is it, about 60... about maybe 1963, maybe two. He was, I think it was, or maybe even earlier, he was in Texas, I think it was Beaumont. He was preaching to a little group, and he said, now you Pentecostals have a job understanding the Word. He said, now, predestination is too strong for you, so I'll use the word foreknowledge. Well, that made them feel good. Well, now, because they didn't fall into a trap. I could say, well, over here is a piano, but I'm going to keep calling it an organ. You say, oh, bless God, that's Brother Dale's fine, that's an organ. You know, just makes you marvel. Just makes you marvel. But you see, God's blueprint is foreknowledge, but if he didn't have omniscience, he couldn't put it into effect. Now then, let's say that I foreknow something down the street there. How can I foreknow anything unless I've got the power to make it come to pass? See? Can't do it. There's your foreknowledge, the blueprint. There's your predestination through omniscience, bringing the foreknowledge to its conclusion or destiny, and there we are. But all the revelation came to us, and so we praise the Lord. So let's stand on it with all of our hearts and not look anywhere. Don't lead to our own understanding. There's something we can't figure out. Just let it rest. You know, lots of times there are things that Brother Branham said we just can't put her finger on. You know, I never let these little things bother me like some people do. They say, Brother Branham said that when Noah saw Enoch leave, he knew it was time for the flood. Well, I guess you read your Bibles like I do. Enoch was four generations ahead. I don't know what he's driving at, but I know one thing. That hasn't got a thing to do with doctrine. Doesn't have a thing to do with doctrine. Simple illustration. You can take any illustration you want. Do you know the Apostle Paul never stuck to the Bible either? You know that he quoted from the Book of Wisdom, and the Book of Wisdom is not in the first 39 books? And God didn't slap his fingers. He was illustrating. Brother Branham told us. He said, one time it's illustration, one time it's doctrine. You watch the doctrine and don't get picky. I never care what he says offhand or by illustration. That doesn't mean a thing to me. I watch the doctrine. That's the thus saith the Lord. Sure, you can take scripture like the apostles did, and you can get illustration anytime you want. The Bible, Paul tells us, he said, these things were for our example. He did not say they are for doctrine, and only when they quote as doctrine can you take it as doctrine. The rest is example. Now, the doctrine was set as it was in the days of Noah, and the fact of Enoch being ahead is illustrative. But the fact that he was a prophet preceding his doctrine. Never mind what goes in between. Oh, sure, that'll shake you up if you're Pentecostal. Or a Baptist, you'll slink out of here. You won't see it. God had pity on you if you don't. You're going to be picking the gnats and swallowing the camel. Yeah, I mean it with all my heart. You just got to get over this kind of stuff. See? Not too long ago, I was in the state of Pennsylvania, and here the people that said they'd received the message got so stumbled over taking wine, they wanted some kind of grape juice or pop, maybe a little cream soda or something. Man. I said, what's the matter with you people? I said, here you are, ready to be stumbled, when we're right at the peak, entering into the full stature of Jesus Christ, and people stumbling around. I said, man, oh man, if you're looking to be stumbled this late in the day, forget it. You ain't even the baby stage. I don't care what anybody does. They're never going to stumble me on this word. I'm resolved to believe this word if nobody else does. If nobody else will listen to me preach, I'll sit down and try to write a book. Brother Brown used to wake his wife up to preach to her. I never do that to my wife. I'll wake her up to preach to her. No, sir, I never have to my knowledge, and maybe never will. I'll wake anybody up to preach to them. Write a book. Or keep it, or talk to a tape or something. But let the message go, it's impossible. See, stay with the Word. So there's where we are. Now, let's take a little study tonight if we can. I don't know how organized I am. I'm pretty unorganized now. On the grounds, I'm used to kind of, I got the place of getting to be an old man. Either I'm getting to be a tired old man or a lazy old man. There's one thing about it, I know I'm an old man. But whether it's lazy or tired, I just got to kind of, put it in a nice way. You can run yourself down only so much. I don't want to be too bad to myself. Some people begin to believe me and start harping at me. Let's just bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask you again, Lord, to be with us in the meditation of your word. May we sort of go into some things, my God, looking at it, seeing where it lies, to give us understanding and consolation in the hour in which we live, Lord, confirming our stand in this word, because we know it's thus saith the Lord, and there's where we start. What a great place it is to start, knowing that we have come to a place of reality, that here was a man who could talk as the oracles of God, who could say, thus saith the Lord, just like Peter said, if any man has anything to say, let him say what God said. In this day when everybody's thou sayest, thou sayest, thou sayest, and here they are, wretched, miserable, naked, blind, and don't even know it. They're talking about knowing the things of God. Lord, it's just like a man, Lord, writing checks in a bank when he's got no money. He's bankrupt and he's fooling the creditors. Oh, God, we don't want that at all. We want to be where the gold and the raiment and the eye salve is. And, Lord, if we're lacking any of it, we're honest tonight and saying, Father, in this spot we're still blind. In this spot we're still naked. In this spot we're still poor. Lord, give us a little more clothes, a little more faith, a little more eye salve. Because we don't want to miss any of it. We want line precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little, until it comes right down to the finishing line, that we won't have one word out. Now, Lord, if we do have a little word out here or there, a little jot or a tittle, please forgive us and show us where we're wrong. Instruct us in righteousness, we pray, O God, that we might not fall into the snare of the enemy. Lord, let each one be very, very perfectly led by your Spirit into all truth, and we'll be careful to give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to make a little study of Acts 3, 22 to 23. Who is Acts 3, 22 and 23, or what is it all about? Now, I don't know if I can tell you all about it. I'm just going to tell you some of my thoughts on it, and you can just see how it just compares with your thinking. Now it says in 22 and 23, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it shall come to pass that every soul which shall not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now there's no doubt that that prophet is Jesus. Brother Branham said so. All the scholars say so. And, of course, if all the scholars said so, and Brother Branham said opposite, then I would go with Brother Branham. But Brother Branham did say that this was Jesus. Yet it goes far beyond the short 3.5-year ministry that Jesus Christ had. There's no doubt about it, because it comes right down to the finish line of the people being cut off or destroyed who don't hear him. Now, let's just look at this. Moses truly said unto the fathers. Now, this prophecy goes way back to Deuteronomy 18, and given by Moses under inspiration of the Holy Ghost. And it says, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren like unto me. Now, if Christ is raised up from amongst the brethren, which indeed he would have to be if this is Christ, Jesus, then let's examine those brethren. Who are the brethren? This should be interesting to place this prophet. He's got to come from a certain source, and they're supposed to be brethren. Now, we go first of all to the book of Mark, just looking it over, see, just seeing what comes out of searching Scripture, because if it says brethren, let's should find out about brothers. If this is Jesus, let's find out about who his brothers were. All right, Mark 3, 31 to 35. Then came his brethren and his mother, that's after the flesh, standing without, sent unto him, calling him. And the multitude sat about him, and they said unto him, Behold, thy mother and thy brethren without seek for thee. And he answered them, saying, Who is my mother, or who are my brethren? Now they said, Your mother and your brothers are here. Now, let's get this straight. He's going to put them straight if they're saying wrong. He's not going to stand by and say, Well, that's fine. I'll go and talk to them. Instead, he says, Who is my mother or my brethren? And he looked around on them which sat about him and said, Behold, my mother and my brethren. For whosoever shall do the will of God, the same is my brother, my sister, and my mother. Now, right off the bat here, it says that this prophet is going to be raised up from amongst the brethren. Now, if this is Jesus, he's telling us right now who they are. He's beginning to place them. He tells us who the brethren are. Now, with that, we go to John 6 and 40. To find out what the will of God is, because he said those are the brethren who do his will. This is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up the last day. Now this tells you who the brethren are. The brethren are those who do the will of the Father. Now what's the will of the Father? The will of the Father is the recognition of the Son, to absolutely know who he is. And that is to see him, which is a spiritual revelation. And the seeing, the spiritual revelation, will bring eternal life. And that's right, because no man can call Jesus Lord except by the Holy Ghost. And remember, he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but believing is a revelation. Because he also says, not everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Now, pins you right down here, that the only people that are in the sovereign will of God and have everlasting life are those that have their revelation of who he actually is by the Holy Ghost. Now, it says here, the brethren. Now, just got to look at it that way. Oh, let's go to Hebrews, the second chapter now, and just take a look at that, about this thought. Now, see, to me, I got to trace all these things through. I'm not satisfied I'm getting a point. Now, I don't know about you, but we just look at it, see? But verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. Not every man. That's not in the Greek. The word man is not in the Greek. Don't you believe it, because it's not there. He didn't taste death for every man. Now, he could have. He's big enough to do it. But if Christ had tasted death for you and me, which means he actually partook of death for you and me, then we're not going to go in the second death. Now, millions are going in that second death. It's every. And you look in your Greek studies, you're going to find the word man is not in the Greek. Why they ever put that in without italics is more than I know. They should never have done it. Notice, for it became him for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifies, and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren. All right, now who's the brethren now? It's they who have the same source as he has, which means they're born of the Spirit of God. They're full of the Holy Ghost. Saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. He's going to declare the name of God to them. Well, the name of God is Jesus. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. Now, what's the church? The true bride. Where is he? He's in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. And again, I'll put my trust in him. And again, behold, I and the children which God hath given me. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, coming to identify himself with us. See, we're flesh and blood, and we're children. Children in flesh and blood. The spoken word, which is original seed, made manifest through the flesh. Now they all died in that flesh, see? That through death he might, it's not destroyed, but bring to naught him that has the power of death, that is the devil. The devil's still going to be destroyed, see? And deliver them who through fear of death were in all their lifetimes held in bondage. For verily he took not on him the nature of angels, for he didn't become an angel, but he became the seed of Abraham. Wherefore in all things it behooved him to be made like unto his brethren. See? That he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God to make reconciliation for the sins of the people. Now you notice the identification here amongst the brethren is the election. The identification. Now the Bible says here that he's going to raise up a prophet from amongst the brethren. Well, where else would a prophet come from except from the election? Where else would he come from? Christ could only come by election. He is the elect. See? You say elect? Sure he is. The seed promised to Abraham was not Isaac. The seed is Christ. There's your election. The royal seed. See? Now, here he is. He is amongst the brethren. The elect Christ and the election, that's we, and through the ages, are all of one. Now, the Bible says that God is going to raise up a prophet from amongst the brethren. Literally, a man fully identified and one with the elect of Almighty God and nobody else. He wasn't the prophet to the Pharisees and scribes. How could he been? If he'd have been a prophet to them, they'd have received him. See? Where does a prophet come to? Well, he comes and just anybody can come in and look at the message, look a thing over, but who is the word? The word which the prophet brings is to the sheep. Sheep hear the voice. The shepherd is not sent just everywhere around the world. He's sent to the sheep. See? So here we are. Now, there's one point to look at. Look at the side of the spiritual election. This prophet is raised up amongst the brethren, and that's exactly where he takes his place. Those that do his will are the brothers. Who do his will? That they should believe on the Lord and believe on him the sent. See? Come into the revelation. See him. Behold him. They know him. Now, for this reason, he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Just pins the thing together. But notice, with the spiritual election, there is also a physical election. But to me, the spiritual is a big thing. Because remember, Jesus was not a Jew. If he was a Jew, he was illegitimate. He was neither Jew nor Gentile. He's the Son of God. Seed of the woman. And remember, the woman was way back in the garden. See? Sure. Now, notice that he came by a certain line of election in the natural. This is necessary in order to point it out to the people. See? In order to have some place to categorize it or pigeonhole it. See, to keep your eye on a certain thing. We go to Galatians, the 3rd chapter. 8th verse. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations of the earth be blessed. Now, we got from Abraham. Abraham, by election, picked out. Verse 16. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. See? Now, we go to Romans, the 9th chapter. Pinpointing it further, the first 5 verses. I say the truth in Christ, I line up my conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost, that I have great heaviness and continual sore in my heart. For I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren, my kinsmen according to flesh, who are Israelites, to whom pertaineth the adoption, and the glory, and the covenants, and the giving of the law, and the service of God, and the promises, whose are the fathers, and of whom, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. In other words, Messiah must come out of Israel. See? Now we got a perfect picture of this prophet. In the flesh, born in Israel, of the tribe of Judah, but under the election. That's just what the Bible says. See? There he is, that prophet. Now, that pinpoints it from amongst the brethren. See? Not just somebody rising up with a ministry. No, sir. An absolute election and identification. You can see just where he came in the Scripture. Now, since he came right in the Scripture, then that's the one. Couldn't come any other way. We got that solved. Now, he said, Moses said, like unto me. Now, we got to get some examples here what Moses was like. Then we compare with Jesus. Now, Moses was primarily that one by whom God kept his covenant promise to deliver Israel from Egypt and bring them into the land of promise. He was that one to lead them out of Egypt. God kept his covenant to Moses. Moses led them out. He was to bring them into the promised land. Now, Moses and what Moses did, that's Moses the man, and what Moses did was the fulfillment or the manifestation into reality of the word. God said, I'm going to deliver Israel. I'm going to bring them in. So now Moses has been designated to do it. So therefore, Moses is the manifestation and the fulfillment of the word. Can't help but be. The promise of God was revealed in flesh. The flesh was Moses. Now, we got a man that is actually the embodiment of the Word of God. Now, he's not the Word of God. He's part of the Word of God. Moses actually was. Because way back in Abraham's day, God said, I'm going to send him down to a strange nation. They'll serve that nation 400 years under taskmaster. Then I'm going to bring him out when the cup of the iniquity of the Amorites is completely full. Now, you got the same thing in the church. The cup of the abomination of the harlot system has got to be completely full. Then God brings his people out of her and destroys that bunch. Just threw that in for good measure. Just to give you, because Brother Branham mentioned this Exodus. Same thing, see? Israel came out of a nation, and now we come a bride out of a church, right? Just see the picture. Now, Christ was the manifestation, or the manifested word for his day, to bring deliverance to Israel from sin, and also prepare her for the promised land, which was not the millennium, but to bring her into eternal life, which would blossom in the millennium. See? He came to do it. He was that word. Wasn't he? Certainly he was. Search the scripture. For in them you think you have eternal life, and there they was testifying me. See? He was the word. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth. That's exactly right. It needs to be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. Exactly right. See, the increase of government will be no end. Exactly right. And you know that's true? Prove it. Certainly. That stone made without hands, comes carved out of the mountain, comes down and hits the feet of the great statue. The very kingdom of Jesus Christ is going to destroy the kingdoms of this world and take over. And remember, there is no place where it's ever broken. No, sir. He has been continuously in authority, and he's ruling in the universe, and right now there is nothing to stop him taking over. No, sir. No, sir. There is nothing going to stop it. Now, notice also, Moses was of the correct election. Christ was of the correct election. Who was Moses? He was of the tribe of Levi. See? He was given to bring the law, and it lay in the hands of the Levites to bring law. But remember now, Christ also comes through Abraham, but he comes through the tribe of Judah in order to bring the scepter, which is righteous government, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. See? Because the law couldn't do it. He was also the woman's seed. Certainly was. God created the egg and put it in Mary's womb, created the sperm, and brought forth what? The last Adam and the second man. See? The first man, Adam, came out of the ground by creation of God, and in him lay all the souls of the universe, and in him lay the woman, the bride. Now, what about in Christ? In him was the bride, and from his riven side flowed the atoning blood and the life that would come down upon the bride, see, that was in sin, and quicken her into eternal life. See, she was in him, just like Eve was. He's Messiah. He's all of the things in Scripture. Notice also, Moses had a great vindicated ministry. Certainly.
He said, God said, now Moses, I want you to go down and I want you to know that you are their emancipator. See? Go on down and bring them out. Bring the nation out of the nation of sin. Well, Moses said, I admit that I'm talking to God, he said, but frankly, I'm the only one here. Now, I believe you, but what am I going to do to those folk who won't believe me? They'll say, sure, 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 we've heard about your kind. See, Moses was brought up in Pharaoh's court, and he was nobody's fool. You know, a lot of folk, they can see something and go running with it. Glory to God, hurting God, hallelujah. A beautiful, like this fella, I won't mention his name, but you all know him. He's this great money puller. He pulled by the hour, so you've got to know who I'm talking about. My, if you don't, you sure miss something. You ain't awake. And, you know, that old MC business, you know, master ceremony. You smart, you caught that one too. You didn't catch that, you know what I'm talking about. Well, now, he says in Lamahiah that this, that Christ walked into his room in this blazing white light. And he gets up there in the platform of Chattanooga, Tennessee, and he said, oh, this great thing God showed me. Oh, hallelujah. The great revival's coming. Oh, the great thing's coming. And Brother Branham walked in on that platform. He's like a dog sending the trail of a possum. He looked around, and he said, there's a wrong spirit in this building. Somebody's told you the revival's coming. I tell you, it's a lie. It's all over. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I like that. Glory to God. I could shout. That's my kind of a man. I tell you, he's got character. I wish I had it. I just feel real good. Not to condemn anybody, but I feel real good. In darkness, there's light. In apostasy, there's reality. In hypocrisy, there's truth. Yes, sir. Glory to God. You ain't going to give way to old Lot's day and Noah's day. We're going to give way to the Spirit. See, a lot of people just want to sell us out. I can't go for that. See? Now, Moses had this great vindication. He didn't go popping off to the people just because he saw a light. See? Just run with something. I don't know what this fellow saw, but whatever light he saw wasn't a God, because it's against the Scripture. Now, you know the people that follow him and believe in him, which are the Pentecostals, they don't care that much for the truth. Oh, they say they do. But they don't, because there's nothing in the Word of God that tells a worldwide revival. How in the name of common sense can you have a worldwide revival at the same time the Bible says the whole world is going to follow the beast? Amen. I'd like to know how it's done, and then, bless God, I'll tell you what I'll do. Well, I think the government does this. You better watch them do it. I say I will spend every single cent I got, reach out with four hands and 6 feet to grab all the more I can and keep spending it, and then I'll have that much left. How can you spend what you got and still have it left? And how can you have a revival the same time Antichrist taking over? How can you have your cake and eat it? You got deficit spending, and just like the government, is going to collapse. In other words, you've thrown the truth out the window. Now, this man, Moses, did not run with something he thought. He said, Lord, they won't believe me. And God said, that's exactly right. I'm going to give you a couple of signs. And the voice was in the sign. And the first voice they heard was the sign. Now, the same thing happened with Jesus. See? He said, if you don't believe me, believe the works. And the first voice was the works. Then came the word. See? Moses brought the word. That's what he was fitted for. Christ brought the word. You know that? Now, if Jesus Christ is the Holy Ghost, let me ask you one thing. What does the Holy Ghost bring? The word. Exactly what he said he'd do. Now then, he didn't bring signs and wonders. That's a wrong emphasis. The signs and wonder are merely an adjunct. It's the word that counts. Notice, God judged Israel for denying the word in Moses' day because Korah, Dathan, and Abiram were swallowed up. God judged Israel in Jesus' day because he said their sin still remains. Notice also, Moses gave himself to stand in the gap and said, let me die instead of the people, as a perfect picture of Jesus Christ who stood in the gap and did die, that the people could have their sins forgiven, but they turned it down. Now, let's notice back here, since we see the similarity, to see election, spiritual, election, natural, see the ministries brought before attention. Let's go back to Acts again. Like unto me, amongst the brethren. Third chapter of Acts. Now, he said, for Moses truly said to the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in A-double-L things, whatsoever he says unto you, and it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now, notice, I said this did not take place in Jesus' 3.5 years of ministry. This could not happen. See? What couldn't happen? The people being destroyed for not hearing him. This could not happen, for he was the sacrificial lamb, and all manner of sin could be forgiven. Had they heard him, he would not have died. Right? Right. If they'd have heard him, he would not have died. But they were blinded. They were blinded by God. But there has to come a time when this will happen, because it says it's going to happen. And therefore, if it hasn't happened, it's got to happen, because every word has got to be fulfilled. Now, there's got to come a time when all those things have got to be heard. Don't hear them and all things shall be destroyed. Now, when will this happen? To understand that this is to happen at the end time, we will first of all read Acts 3, 13 to 15. The God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son whom you delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when Pilate was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. If you're a Cain, you'll do what Cain does. Cain was a murderer. See? And killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name through faith in his name, and so on. Now, let's go to Acts 3 and 18. But those things which God had before showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Now, what was fulfilled in the Scripture that was said by the mouth of the prophets? The suffering. See? But the glory that should follow has not been. Just this part was fulfilled. Now, then read 20:21. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was appointed unto you, whom the heavens must retain, until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. But remember what's already happened. Now watch Acts 24, 3:24. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Now notice, these days, two sets of days. The prophet spoke of the first coming, right? Wherein he died as a sacrifice, it's already been fulfilled. But they're speaking of the other days, when Christ must come, and the whole word fulfilled. And if you don't hear that, is when you're going to get cut off. You see? Two sets of days. The days of the flesh and the days of the coming again. You follow me? Two sets of days. And the prophet spoke of both. But one's been fulfilled. And when it's fulfilled, it'll never repeat. Because it's passed away. See? You get it now? Now, the prophet in flesh died. The same one is to come again. He shall send Jesus Christ, which was preached or appointed unto you. See? But the heavens are to retain him until restoration. After the restoration, and only after the restoration, can he come. See? So what the prophet spoke of, the coming, is yet to be fulfilled. Hasn't been fulfilled yet. Now, the question comes up. How can the people hear him, lest they be destroyed? Now, the people got to hear him. All right? Let's look at verse 25 and 26. You are the children of the prophets. Now, Remember, Jesus said, you do the works of your Father because you listen to your Father. Right? Now, who are the fathers? The prophets. Speaking of the earthly now. Why? Because they're the one that bring the word. You are the children of prophets. From Samuel. No. And of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. So therefore we are the children of the prophets the same as Israel is. Well, aren't we? Well, you gotta be if you believe in Isaiah. And if you believe you're born again, because who brought the word? The prophets brought the word. See? And unto you first. You got it first. But you turned it down. You had your chance. You missed it. Speaking to Jews. Unto you first, God, having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you. Did you hear what I read? I bet you didn't. Because you're still looking at the first coming. You're not looking at the fact that this is the Holy Ghost. It said God raised up Jesus, and after he raised him, he sent him to the Jews. Now, where did he raise him? At his own right hand above all principality and power, and when he did it, he sent him back. And who did he send him to? To the Jews. And then he sent him to the Gentiles. But he sent him to the Jews first, Israel, to bless you in turning away every one of you from his iniquities. See? God sent him to Israel, and what happened? The covenant God sent Jesus by way of Israel, fulfilling the election. Israel killed him, but God raised him up. Then God sent him back to Israel as the Holy Spirit. Israel rejected the Holy Ghost. You always do resist the Holy Spirit. Even as your fathers did, you stiff-necked and uncircumcised in heart and ears, and the uncircumcised Israel became a Gentile unto God. See? No more covenant. No more what covenant? Bride covenant. Turn it away. Now, Israel rejected the Holy Spirit and became blind, so the covenant went according to Acts 3:25. Yea, and all the prophets from Samuel and those that follow after, as many as have spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. What days? The days in which we speak. Now, God turning to the Gentiles. Ye are the church, children of the prophets, and of the covenant which God made with their father, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Now there's time for the kindred, which are the Gentiles, to come in. Now then, here is what I see in this setting here. I hope you be following me this far. The prophet, like unto Moses, was raised up amongst the brethren. He came in the flesh. But remember, he came according to election. That's why Israel couldn't figure it. See? He was not heard by Israel. Now listen, they were not destroyed. Were they? They were not destroyed. They were blinded. Now a blind person is a far cry from a destroyed person. But remember, there has to come a time when all who don't hear him will be destroyed. Now that's categorically what the Bible says. See? This one. Now watch. This covenant was not only to Israel, but to the Gentiles, and since Israel was blinded and can't see, it will be the Gentiles who are destroyed primarily because they can see him to refuse him. Right? If the Israelites were blinded, then the Gentiles were not blinded. Their blindness is willful. Is that right? Now, come on, let's get the picture. You can't have our cake and eat it and have several different pictures here. If we've got us blinded and Israel blinded, everybody's blind, everybody goes in under election. Forget any means then. Who needs anything? Under the mercy of God, we're all in the fifth seal. We're not in the fifth seal. The bride goes in the fourth. And we're part of Him. Israel's not part of Him. They don't make the bride. They lose out. But by the mercy of God, because they were blinded, in order to get the Gentile bride, God will bring Israel in, and behold, all Israel shall be saved. That applies to the nation, but the rest of us come in by individuals, and we're called members. Individuals making the body of Christ, see? Now, let's prove this. We go to Romans, the 11th chapter. 11 and 12. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. But rather, through their fall, salvation is come unto the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Now, if the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them be the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? Now, let's go to verse 25. But I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, this doctrine, this word come down from heaven. Lest you be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Israel can't have God because they're blinded. Now if they're blinded, God can't judge them under willful neglect. You don't judge a blind man because he falls down the stairs. You should have said someone should have helped him, but Israel, God didn't help Israel. He just let him go blind. They do the best they can, then you come in the direction. Right? Now, watch. The prophet from among the brethren was never raised up to the Gentiles. You show me where we had an election amongst the Gentiles. You can't do it. You got to remember the Gentiles are elect. Right? Certainly. Yeah. We never did have the prophet after our own natural election, as Gentiles never did, see? He never did appear unto us, and yet we have to hear him, that prophet, from among the brethren, and those who refuse to listen are utterly destroyed at his coming. Says that. Now Israel can't be, because they're blinded, they're all going to be saved. Yet there's going to be a time when those who don't hear that prophet are going to be destroyed. Now let's prove this by further scripture. Hebrews the 12th chapter. Now some people say Paul didn't write it. I'm not going to argue that. See that you refuse not him that speaketh. Oh, how they love to pit scripture against scripture. These folk who read only the first chapter. For if they escape not him who refused to speak on earth, how much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven? Whose voice then shook the earth. But now he hath promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifieth the removing of those things that are shaken, as of things that are made, that those things which cannot be shaken may remain. See? Tells you right there's one more shaken. And the only thing that can't be shaken will remain, and the only thing that can't be shaken is the bride. How? Through the revelation, according to the book of Ephesians. Till we all come to the knowledge of the Son of God, and grow up into the full stature, a perfect stature of the Son of God. Not any more tossed to and fro by wind of doctrine. You're no more moved, but you're absolutely unmovable because you have an ultimate. And we have the ultimate in thus saith the Lord. Amen. And if it's thus saith the Lord, it's that prophet that speaketh from heaven. And he said everything that can be made is going to be shaken. And brother, sister, the things that God speaks of are the creeds and dogmas that man made and the church order system. But Christ is making a bride. And how's he making it? By his own word. And that's the only thing that can't be shaken. Because the Bible said all but the very election is going to be shaken. Be deceived. See? Now there's where we stand. And this is at his coming. See? Because it's only at his coming, that is, I mean in the period of his coming, that this thing can take place to hear him speaking from heaven. Oh, can't you see it? He's still there. He hasn't come down to claim his own yet. This one whom the heavens retain. Peter said, you crucified and killed him, but God raised him. And he's going to stay right there until the restoration of all things spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. Because God said, I'm going to raise up a prophet, and if you don't hear him, I'm going to destroy utterly. Now, when he was on earth, he did not destroy utterly. They were blinded, and they're under the altar. And they'll come up under the fifth seal at the white throne, and they'll bring their glory into the new Jerusalem, which is the bride. You've got a big difference. You've got to see that. Now, to really consider this, let's go to verses 21 and 22 again. Whom the heavens must retain until the restoration of A-double-L things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. For Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. And it will come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now listen, all things spoken by the all the holy prophets, and him shall you hear in all things, to me is identical. Now let's watch it. Let's look at this. Whom the heavens must retain until the restoration, now listen carefully, of all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Now listen, and then it turns right around and says, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me, him shall you hear in all things. Now up here it's all things, and down here it's all things. And it talks of restoration, all things, and it says Jesus is saying all things. So who is the Elijah for this day but the Lord Jesus Christ himself, as Brother Branham said? Not William Branham. Not William Branham, he's just a man. You getting the picture? The two all things are identical. Now up here it says restoration of all things. Remember who brings restoration? And down here it says that prophet and hear him in all things. Is that right? Okay. Now listen. Then Jesus Christ cannot come back until God raises up a prophet again like unto Moses with the identical ministry of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. Because they're under this. Who's he coming for? Jew and Gentile. And who's he got to raise up a prophet to? Jew and Gentile. Going to raise up a prophet. Who is that? Jesus Christ himself. Now, let's go then and see this. Keep your minds there. Revelation 10 and 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh messenger, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished. When's it going to be finished? When all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets come in. And if you don't hear the all things spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets, which it says here, who is going to do it? Who brings restoration? Elijah. See? Now how's he going to bring it? Because it's that prophet. Well, everybody knows how that's going to happen. Simple. He does it. As we mentioned this morning, and all through these series I've been bringing out to you, Revelation 1 and 10. He turned to hear the voice, see the voice. And being turned, he saw the seven golden candlesticks. And in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, one saying the same things as the Son of Man. And in his right hand he saw seven stars, which are seven messengers. So the voice of God to seven church ages by the seventh messenger, and the seven church age messenger is a prophet who reveals all the mysteries of God, and thereby bringing this to a conclusion, it says either you hear him or you perish. Why? Because if you add one word or take away one word, you've thrown yourself in a great tribulation or taken your name off the book. Now, he will be a Gentile. Sure. He will be from amongst the Gentiles. Who will be? The seventh messenger of the seventh church age. See? It will not be Elijah himself, because Elijah has been born and caught up without death.
To be a man like Moses requires a birth and death on earth and a resurrection and rapture like Jesus. That's why William Branham couldn't be standing here and caught up at the end time, because his ministry is like unto Moses. Now, we all know the answer as to how we can have an end time prophet and not Jesus in the flesh to fulfill the scripture. Revelation 10:1-6. There it is. He's going to speak from heaven. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, a rainbow upon his head. His faces were the sun, feet as pillars of fire. Now what comes down to the earth? The pillars of fire, the feet. Now, he had in his hand, right hand, a little book open. That's from Revelation chapter 5, the book of redemption. His right hand upon the sea, left on the earth. And he cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roared. Doesn't say he is Leo. Leo hasn't come. Jesus hasn't come. The flesh hasn't come. It's just the same voice. But now it's a lion. And remember, in the sign of Leo, one of the signs of the zodiac, the lion is destroying the serpent. That's right. Amen. I want to tell you, I said a while ago, the only way you can understand God is by an absolute revelation of the Word, and that's the only way you can understand the Antichrist, is by the revealed Word that shows you the mystery of iniquity, as we've been dealing on in about 5 sermons in the last 3 weeks. Shows you exactly where you are. And Brother Branham, I got to thinking one day, if Brother Branham revealed Christ, then he has to reveal the Antichrist. He did it, he said, in his own tapes he revealed him. Sure, amen. Now, it says right here, he cried as when a lion roared. He is not a lion. He is not the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is not the 12th sign of the zodiac. Not yet. No, sir. But it's that same voice that's on earth in the thunders while he's speaking. He's still in heaven. The Son of Man is still in heaven. But what happens? The prophet reveals the Son of Man. The whole Word comes into view, just as when Christ came into view, and he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. He said, how come you ask me to show your Father? Have you been so long with me and haven't understood? Have the people so long been in this message and don't know that the full revelation of Jesus Christ has come to this earth, that Christ has literally appeared? The mercy seat's been exposed, the book of redemption open. And there you see your name in the last book of life on the grounds that you are a believer. Of what? The end time message. The full revelation. Not something somebody cooked up. Not something full of error. Because remember in Elisha's day, there was death in the pot. And what did he threw the meal in the pot. And he brought life out of death. And so at this end time, before God would curse this earth, he would send Elijah in order that he won't destroy utterly. Amen. That's exactly what the Bible teaches. Now you can see where we're at. This identification is so close I can understand why people get all mixed up. Brother Branham warned him. And the unveiling of the mighty God, he warned you. He would say things that would drive you out of your mind. People got to think he was Jesus Christ. Got to think he was more than what he was. He wasn't. He's just this man down here. But God gave him preeminence. So if God gave him preeminence, then I must give him preeminence or I'll be outside the will of God. There's where the people fail. What is that preeminence? To put him where he belongs in the Word, the bringer of this Word at the end time, see? Now, see? Revelation 10:1-6, keep reading. When a lion roars, he wasn't a lion, just the same voice. And he uttered 7 thunders, that's completion. See? 7 church ages, 7 mysteries, so on, everything in 7s, the whole thing comes out. Now, 7 thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice in heaven saying to me, seal up those things, that the 7 thunders uttered and write them not. Sure, that's what he said. Let's go back to Revelation 22 now, don't find out something. Revelation chapter 22, verse 10. And he said, seal not the sayings of the prophecy of this book, for the time is at hand. Just before Jesus comes to take his bride, this book gets open, and don't anybody dare try to seal it. Now, why are people saying the book's still sealed? Now, you can take it for what you want. Now, you can, please don't hate me. If you do, show what you got. Because I respect my brethren and disagree with me, too, and love them. Though I've had some very peculiar things said about me because I listen to them politely and they think that something else is going on.
But this is why I can't see Brother Branham coming back to do something else. No matter what he would do of any monumental magnitude or anything else, it is still this word, and if this book was open, then don't you seal it up. Because the time between the time that John got this revelation and the time that Jesus comes for his bride, this book has to be opened. Because in Revelation 10, it says, seal it. In that first century, because this is written about 96 A.D. And by the time he comes, just using Brother Branham's dates lightly, because he said this is not a prophecy but a prediction, that between 96 A.D. and 1977 A.D., this book has to be opened, seals, thunders, and all, and cannot be sealed up. Now, if you want to sit around and sit on your hands and look for this and that and reject the word of the hour, you go ahead. But don't cuss me out, because I won't. Because I don't know what's going to happen. And I'm not about to guess. Because I don't have thus saith the Lord, nor neither does anybody else. All I know is that since this book is open, whatever will be on the grounds it has been given. It's open, and it's a progressive revelation right now, and we're in it. And if it takes something else beyond the resurrection, that's fine by me. But I'm not going to lie down now and close that book. I hope you got me. Now, if you're mad at me, just you keep on being mad, but just show you better get to God again, because you ought not get mad, because I'm not anybody mad to anybody who believes otherwise. I just got to state my state, because I got to be honest. See? Now, he said, seal it. Now, it's got to be unsealed. And the angel which I saw stand upon the scene upon the earth, lift up his hand to heaven, and swear by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and earth. Now, who raised his hand to heaven and swears by himself but God? Now, no one can swear by God but God. No angel can do it. Nobody can do it. Anytime you see a mighty messenger do it, it's God himself, because only God can swear by God. Now, remember, right here, when God swore by God, the scripture you've got to go to is the Old Testament, which is revealed in the book of Hebrews, that when God could swear by no one mightier, he swore by himself what? Concerning the seed of Abraham. Which was what? The election of Almighty God. Now then, the election is over. God swearing by himself is run out. Now, Irenaeus said, when the last elected member is brought in, then Christ comes. And Irenaeus was taught by Polycarp, who was taught by John. Brother Branham put his seal upon it, and the seventh seal says that's correct. In this end time period, brother, sister, Christ has got to come, and when he comes, let him that is righteous be righteous, and him that is holy be holy still, and him that is unholy, and so on, is unholy still. Right down the line. You come to that place where Christ will take away his bride. See? Now, from that moment on, I see no other scripture but death facing everybody but the 144,000. Because why? We are in the days of Noah, when God will purify the earth once more, but not by water, but by fire. And as in the days of Noah, they literally walked upon the ashes and the bones of the wicked when God laid down that bed of silt. See, remember, we believe the mastodons were caught in that deluge. And science can explain how the onrushing water descending like a lump of ice from heaven caused such a blast as to bring absolute zero conditions. And those animals were caught with green grass in their mouths, and they're still right in Siberia today, in a condition almost so perfect you just about eat a steak off them. The grass is still green. Now, this is no mystery. This is no myth. This is scientific fact. But those old paleontologists and archaeologists go running around looking for bones and things to look after, see? Now, remember then, they walked over the ashes in a purified world by water. Then what's going to stop God from purifying the world by the same process of laying down something over all this filth that's here, that the righteous come down and have the earth? See, it's as he's running the same picture. Get the same picture, see? He's doing it. So there we see there is destruction to the earth. Now,
looking here at Moses again. In Revelation 10, 1 to 6, we see the parallel of Moses once more. Now listen, Moses had the pillar of fire. Jesus did not have the pillar of fire. He did not. He was the pillar of fire. Moses had the rock and the cloud. Jesus did not have the rock and cloud because he was the rock and the cloud. See? So in these verses, I see two fulfillments. Jesus as the prophet and savior to Israel, the Son of Man crucified. Then a prophet like unto Moses revealing the Son of Man. See? Because it's the Spirit of God and the prophet makes him a prophet. Prophet doesn't reveal anybody. It's God in the man. See? Now he's going to bring the word spoken by the mouth of all the holy prophets since the world began. Who was the first prophet since the world began? God was. Who was the first prophet? He was in the Garden of Eden. Who was he? God. Who has continued to be the prophet? God. The God who came down, maybe in the pillar of fire. I don't know how he came down in the Garden of Eden. Don't ask me because the Bible doesn't say. It just said Spirit of God moved upon the face of the water and then he moved in the Garden of Eden. I don't know how he did it. But he's the prophet. He said, how do I know? Because he said, don't eat of this tree or you'll die. That's a prophet. Did he die? Sure did. Ate of the tree. That's a prophet. Because his words come to pass. Who was that first prophet? Then God was. Who's the last prophet? God is. Who's in between? God is. Now, how does he veil himself? He veiled himself in the pillar of fire, and when he did, he said, this is the way I'm going to do it in order to use a prophet. A deliverance prophet. And you got the very same thing today in Revelation 10 and 1, when the pillar of fire veils the Holy Ghost and brings forth the word to the prophet. Now, that's what the Bible says here. You know this is Jesus. Why? Because he's got the rainbow. Where's the rainbow? Over the throne. Who's on the throne? God's on the throne. Then who is this? This is God. Pillar of fire, come on down. Now, where is he? He's still in heaven. But he's speaking from there because he's still there, but come by his Spirit in the pillar of fire. See, you got your manifestation. It's very simple. Now, in this day is when this takes place. Those who do not hear must now face the judgment. Remember, Israel was blinded. They were not all destroyed. No siree. The election went right on. They got scattered. Now, let's go to Hebrews, the 10th chapter, 6th chapter, and find out something here. Now, listen. Verse 4. For it is impossible for those who are once for all enlightened, the last day message, there's no more coming, and have tasted the heavenly gift, made partakers of the Holy Ghost, who have tasted the good word of God and have tasted the powers of the world to come, not if they shall fall away, having fallen away, it's impossible to ever renew them again to repentance, seeing they crucified to themselves the Son of God afresh. Now, how are you going to crucify him afresh unless you can get him down to a place where you can do it? Figure that out. Now, we're not dealing in similes here. We're dealing in actual truth. Sure, it's a simile to a point because it's to themselves afresh. But how can the people possibly have the ability to do this unless he repeats according to his flesh, though done by the Spirit, under the same conditions as happened when he was here on earth? The same conditions repeat. They do. The Bible says so. The days of the Son of Man come right down to earth, which is a complete revelation of God manifested through human flesh. The prophet with the same ministry. Nobody else had the ministry. You got to put it that way. The prophet's not the Son of Man. He revealed the Son of Man. But where's the ministry? It's in the prophet. Where's the word? It's in the prophet. See? No place else. Nobody else has got it. You've got to identify with the man. But he's not God. Then he stretched the imagination. But he reveals God. See? And it's just as though God were with us, and because God is with us, but we can't make the contact. Oh, I know people say, I can contact him. Sure, go into spiritism. Go ahead. Get in your dark room and call on God. You'll get him. Oh, sure. I know a lady back there in Florida, down in Florida, she could talk in tongues and everything else and praise God and have a great time. But when she couldn't get through to God, she said, "Now, Lord, if my mother were here, she would tell me so Mom appears."
Sure. Don't tell me it's God, though, please. I'm a little tired today and a little nauseated. Just about carrying me out of the pulpit. Now listen. For the earth, and we're earth, which drinketh in the rain, that's the word, prove it by the Bible, all over the place, that cometh oft upon it, bringeth forth herbs, meat for them by whom it's dressed, receives blessing for God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. Now he puts this in here concerning the end time message of those who leave it. So therefore, if you don't hear the end time message, if you don't hear him that speaketh from heaven, the Bible categorically places the tares here and says you'll be burned like the tares. Now, you can't get burning until the end of the ages. I don't care who you are. And every time you see the word burning, it refers to the end time because God doesn't mix his metaphors. He doesn't say tares now. He says burning. Remember in Matthew, when they spoke of tares, he said, "Leave them until the harvest, then I'll bundle, then I'll burn." But here he is talking of burning. So it's the end of the ages, and they who don't hear him are utterly destroyed. And he said, "I will come and utterly destroy if I don't send Elijah." So then tell me who's the prophet. It's Jesus Christ himself by the Holy Ghost, and he's using a man. That's what he's always done. Look at, brother, sister, this whole book that you and I say we believe in was written by men. Why do they stumble now? Talk about a prophet, they all stumble. See? Talk about him coming back in more than one way in the flesh, they all stumble. Yet in the book of Ephesians, the fourth chapter, it categorically states that he that ascended, what is it that first of all he descended? And he that ascended also descended. In other words, the same one that went up there came back as the Holy Ghost. Then he came back and talked to Paul. Paul met him face to face in the desert on the road to Damascus. He said, "Who are you, Lord?" He said, "I'm Jesus, pillar of fire." Now remember, if he's Alpha, he's got to be Omega. And if he's a pillar of fire at the beginning, he's got to be a pillar of fire at the end. If he revealed himself that he that hath seen me hath seen the Father, he's got to do it at the end. If he had a perfect refilled bride at the first, he's got to have it at the end. If he had the Word of God at the first, he's got to have it at the end. I don't care. You go back to those first chapters, and everything he had there, it's got to be at the end, or God lied. Because Alpha is Omega. A is Z. And what's in between is still what's at both ends, but it's only the ends. Now listen carefully. It's only the ends, A and Z, that get the revelation. Because he doesn't say, "I'm B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, and so on." He said, "I'm A and Z." He warns you what to look for. It's not the second church age. It's not the third church age. It's not the fourth, the fifth, the sixth. But it's 1 and 7. Isn't that clear? That's so clear. Bless God, I get happy. It's so clear. Anything else is unclear. Now, here is where it's fulfilled in type about Moses smiting the rock twice. See? He, as the word prophet, Christ, is crucified the second time. Now watch it. Moses smote the rock the second time and missed the promised land, right? He died for it. Then smite this revelation. In other words, turn from that voice, you'll miss the millennium. Let's prove it. I've been quoting it all night long. Brother, some of Brother Brand's favorite scripture, so if it's his favorite scripture, I feel no have a problem taking my favorite scripture. Not that if he ate pink ice cream, I got to eat pink ice cream. That to me is silly. But I stick with the word. And I didn't mean to offend anybody there, but I've heard of these people that eat that K product because he ate it. Well, that's good enough. It's all right. But I think you better eat the word. See? Maybe some kind of food gave him indigestion, but doesn't bother me. But when it comes to the word, I want exactly what he has. See, I don't want to hurt anybody's feelings, not throwing off anybody, being sarcastic, but let's face it, the word's what counts. You can't be Brother Branham's brother and follow him and be off this word. just because we might throw a line like him and learn how to shoot like him. Well, that's great. I don't care if I can throw a line like him or shoot like him, although I sure wish I could. Be nice. But if I can get the word like him, it's hallelujah. Man, that's got me feeling good right now. Just let me stay with it, see? Let me show you his favorite verse. One of his favorites. For I testify to every man that hears the words of the prophecy of this book. Now, to hear is to understand. That means there's coming a day when this word can be understood. There's going to be an open revelation. If any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are in this book. Now, there's only one time those plagues can come, and that's under the sixth seal, which is at the end of the seventh church age, the great tribulation. It ends in Armageddon, and Christ setting his rule up on earth. That's when you get the plagues. Let's read further. And if any man shall take away the words of the book of this prophecy, his part should be taken out of the book of life and out of the holy city and from the things that are written therein. Now listen, remember when they crucified Christ the first time on Calvary cross, Christ screamed out in Psalm 69, take their names out of the book. Now crucify them the second time. Which is what? If you turn from hearing him that speaketh. See? Now let's go back to Acts, the third chapter, once more. I want to show you something, because we're not fooling anybody, not at all. I want to just stay with the word here to show you. Now, watch. 23. And it shall come to pass that every soul that will not hear that prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. Now listen, let's go up to 22, 21. Whom the heavens must retain until the times of restoration of all things which God has spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. There's got to be a restoration now. Now it says, Moses truly said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you of your brethren, like unto me. Him shall you hear in all things, whatsoever he shall say unto you. Now look at, back here before his death, he said concerning his death, burial, and resurrection, and they turned it down. Now you've got to hear the rest of it. See? People are still dwelling on the first part, and they don't know that he's committed to fulfill the second part. And he's got to fulfill it before he returns in his body. That's what throws him for a loop. That's what Brother Branham said. He said, everyone but the bride is going to be deceived here because they can't separate the appearing and the coming, and the appearing is the revelation by the Word, the Son of Man revealed in human flesh. See? Isn't that right? That's exactly what he said in the text. You know it. You don't have to, I don't know where he said it, but I know he said it, and you know that's the truth. Now listen. For Moses truly said, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise up unto you, like unto me among men. Him shall you hear in all things. Now up here it's all things, and down here it's all things. And it says, they that don't hear him shall be destroyed utterly. The word in the Greek is utterly, the same as it is in Hebrews. If I don't send Elijah, I'll come and destroy utterly. And now, if he doesn't send Elijah, what's going to happen? Destroy utterly. Now, if you don't hear this prophet, Christ, see, speaking from heaven, then you are destroyed utterly, right? And they're all going to go. And now then, how are we going to hear? Because remember, he's only as a lion speaking. He is not the lion because he hasn't come for us. Pillar of fire and a prophet. Do you think William Branham was talking? The words of a man would not do it. William Branham's word did. What about that man I spoke of this morning over there in India, looking at the sun until his eyes were completely blind? And Brother Branham waiting on God with all those Jains and the Hindus and the Muslims and everybody else there with their theory of gods and their theory of religion until they put a mask over their mouth so they wouldn't breathe in a germ lest their uncle or somebody would get breathed in. Took little whisk and whisked away the ants and things so he wouldn't step on some great relative that might come back in the transmigration of souls or in some reincarnation. And then here's that man. He said, I listened to you all day long and now you sit here and here's this man blind. See, he had a vision from God seeing the man healed. Now he said, can you come up in healing in the name of your God? Oh, none of the moon. Why? He said, you sure talked all day long to me. Why don't you speak up now? Something like Elijah. That's the real Elijah. Let's have a showdown, you prophets of Baal. Well, you can sure cut yourselves and cut up a storm. When it comes to a showdown, you're missing it. Now he said, come up here. And he turned to the folk. He said, will you believe in this God who can do it if I pray in his name? Oh, they said, sure, sure. Like the prophets of Baal. They didn't think anything was going to happen. And Brother Branham turned and said, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ,
He cursed the blindness, and the man screamed because those eyes, completely deteriorated and gone from the sun, came back to life.
See? Vindicated prophet. Now, let me tell you something. The words of William Branham wouldn't do that if William Branham came back here in 1,000 bodies and a million times bigger and a million times greater with all the money and all the power in the world without the authority of God. That power died dormant. The words of a man won't do those things. Just like in Nicodemus' day. Nicodemus said, thou art a man sent from God. Why? Because he saw what the words of a man won't do. Only God could do what that man was saying. All right. Then who are you hearing from? You're hearing from God. And then people turn around and say, well, I think I want to hear too. After all, I got ears and God can deal with me. Oh, God help people from that. What have you got anyway to commend yourself tonight to make you listen to yourself or anybody else? If you think you know Scripture, let me get this guy to Denver, Colorado, that sort of talked himself into rejuvenation. That's right, way up in his 70s. He's husky as a young man now. Believes he's got some kind of a pill from the Dead Sea or something. He seems to be working for him. Whether it's mental or it's worked on the body, I don't know, but he is. And he can quote that Bible from Genesis to Revelation. If you say Genesis 3 and 4, he'll quote it. And if you quote Genesis 3 and 4, he'll tell you where it is. And he is so mixed up, he thinks there's little brown men coming out of a hole in the earth up in the North Pole. And I'll tell you one thing. If it came here, he could argue any one of us into oblivion, myself included. I'm not going to say I could lick him, because I couldn't. And neither could any theologian in this town of the whole bunch put together. Because he'd storm you with every single scripture to line up his doctrine until you felt like a mushroom tramped on by an elephant. But William Branham had, thus saith the Lord. Now, if you came tonight and you said, thus saith Lee Dale, you are duty-bound to say nothing but what Lee Dale said. Then if a prophet had, thus saith the Lord, he is saying only what God said. Then if he's saying what only God said, you heard what God said. And you heard God. Can you read this and believe that men wrote this, yet it was God doing it? Why can't we believe in a prophet? See? Now, here is where we are. The Son of Man has been revealed by the prophet. And herein is fulfilled that type in Moses, whereby we saw that Moses smote the rock, crucifying Christ again and died for it. And the Bible says, so all they who crucify the Son of Man to themselves afresh will put him to an open shame, and they shall be as briars for the burning. Now to see this more clearly, remember, God said, hear ye him. You're to hear him. You're to hear that man. In Revelation 1 and 10, John turned and saw him in the midst of the bride speaking to her, because he is their life, or he is her life, and he is the Word. And in every age, we've had a messenger. But remember, since Alpha is Omega, there must be another man to bring the unadulterated word, which has been perverted, as Paul said it would be. But the first church age bride must be as the last church age. And this prophet saw the vision. And he saw the harlotry of the church system. He saw the rottenness of the world calling itself the bride of Jesus Christ. And he wept and said, oh God, is this the best that we have produced as faithful ministers? And then a voice said, now, you can see the end time bride. And there she walked forth identical to the first age, but a couple were out of step, and he screamed, get in step! God dealing with the election, just like he always has, because he was raised up from amongst us, and he's with us. And when he talks, when he's that prophet, he's the prophet to the very elect. This is exactly what we see over here in Acts now, exemplified in Acts 3:19, what we saw in Revelation 10:1-7. The pillar of fire, the prophet on earth, the mighty ministry of God. Now here's what it says in Acts 3:19. Repent you therefore and be converted,
that your sins may be blotted out when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. The Bible says that Israel's sins cannot be blotted out. In other words, he cannot turn back to the election where they come to know him on earth, see, and go into the millennium. And remember, they go in chains because Revelation, the book of Revelation says they are first fruits unto God. Right? Revelation 12 and 14 or 14, 12. What is it? Let's find out. Who knows? Do we look at it? Let's try Revelation 14, 12, see if I'm just guessing or know what I'm talking about. No, can't be 14, 12. Let's see if it's 12 and 14. But if it isn't, I've got to get my concordance. Not the 14 year. It's right in here where it mentions these 144,000 are virgins. They follow him and they're a first fruit. Anyway, it's right in here. I read it the other day. Showing you they go into the millennium because the kingdom of God is not flesh and blood, and they go in there. Now, notice, it says here, repent and be converted that your sins may be blotted out. When? When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And the word presence in the Greek, as we've told you before, is that part of anything that is presented to the eye. Now remember, what did the people see of God? Jesus was not God. So therefore, when they looked at him, they saw a man. Yet he said, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. What was it? They saw what only God could do, which was the mighty acts of God. Now he says here, when the times of refreshing, when the mighty acts of God, the very ministry of Jesus Christ returns to earth, there's going to be a revival strike the world. And a revival did strike the world, and it's over because the word's been given and they turned it down. Now that part of God which meets the eye is just like nature. You can tell there is a God by the very handiwork of God. Now at the end time, it says Israel will be turned to God and the sins blotted out when refreshing comes. And Brother Branham said, if refreshing from the presence of God would bring about the ministry that we saw in the second, first, and second poll, he said, what will it be when all in all comes in? Amen. My, what a glorious bride she's going to be. She'll be identified with the Word. She will have thus set the Word because she's one with the Word. She'll only speak when God tells her. She'll only do the things that God wants her to do. I don't think she's going to go around screaming, thus saith the Lord, though I wouldn't say she couldn't. But brother, sister, she will be that Word. And the mighty works of Christ will be in her, just what Brother Branham said. There'll be that capstone ministry so identical that the very capstone himself can come down, because this is when the fullness of God comes in because it's been made completely full. Oh, when Christ is completely poured into the church, what is it going to be? It even staggered the mind of Brother Branham. Therefore, how could I tell you? It can't be done. But notice, it says here the blotting out of sins is going to come when the presence, when the presence of God, the refreshment from the presence of God will be upon earth. And at the same time, remember this. See, I'm sending Elijah to restore you, and with restoration and restoration alone comes the effect of the covenant of the sacrifice. No covenant of a sacrifice will hold, brother, sister, unless you're in the Word, because it says they died as carcasses and dung in the wilderness because the Word was not mixed with faith in them that heard it, even though they came out by Moses under the blood. Now, where have we been? For 2,000 years, we've been full of our creeds and dogmas. We have been making an image unto the beast. We have been living in harlotry. We have claimed to belong to God, but giving ourselves over to licentious, unspiritual life by going astray from the Word. Now, what does he do? He said, yea, in spite of that, he said, I'm going to blot out your sins. And in Sabina Canyon, it was in 1965, before Brother Branham preached marriage and divorce, as he went up there to bring us back the word of forgiveness, it was visibly seen, as it was upon Mount Horeb, a black cloud and a pillar of fire was seen by the citizens. And it rose and descended, and he came back. You have been forgiven of your adulteries. You've been married to your creeds and denominations, but now your husband is dead, and you're married to Christ, you're free. Don't ever do that again. And it took marriage and divorce to type it, because marriage is the shadow of the substance. That's why I say that you men, if you're any out here in Tucson, you want to get married, you'll throw away your life because you're forbidden, and so are you women. Don't you dare do it. If you can't go back to a creed and a dogma or an organization, neither can you put your life on this altar and get married and say you're clean with God. Stay away from it. Take your preachers up and shout us on there. I don't like emphasizing the point by shouting, but I was brought up wrong, so forgive me. But maybe you need shouting that. Don't throw away your life. Don't ever do that again. You say, but brother said, brother Ben, let me tell you something. I wasn't my fault. Listen to me, brother, sister. I could be a child with venereal disease, not because I got it on my own, because my parents got it. I can have recessive TB traits until I die with TB, not because I asked for it, my parents gave it to me. I can die of diabetes as a young child, not because I asked for it, because my parents gave me. Every one of us suffered because of somebody else. And don't you turn around and say, well, my wife caused me this and that, or my husband. God, listen, you take up your cross and suffer. You say, well, brother Dave, you're married. Maybe if you'd have sought God as sincerely as I did, you wouldn't be in the mess you're in today. I had my chance to go with a lot of women. I could have gone, not so ugly and so disposed to being such an awkward duckling that I didn't have many opportunity. I had so many opportunities even thrown at me. Yeah, how do you think of that? But I was sincere. I knew that every girl I went with was a potential wife. And that's what you men and women ought to smarten up to, and you kids or anybody else. You think you can fool around and not get burned. You think you're smart than Adam and Eve. I've got news for you. You're all wrong. See? And just for good measure, the blotting out of sins has occurred, brother, sister. Remember, don't you fool around in the shadow. We're looking for a true substance. What if you have to suffer for a while? A lot of people suffer. See? Just let you know. Not here to hurt anybody's feelings. God knows if you get an infallible sign from heaven, that'd be okay by me. If the prophet were here, he could tell you if you had a legal cause or not. But there's no prophet. He said, children, don't do it anymore. Now, if that makes enemies, I don't want to make enemies. But if I'm an enemy because of the word of God, then let me be an enemy. Let me be an enemy. I don't mind. Stay with the word of God. Listen, this is exactly, Revelation 10:1-7 is exactly Acts 3:19. And from the blotting out of the sin, remember, see at the end time, then God turns to Israel. Then what does he do? The bride's gone. Two witnesses, Elijah and Moses. There it is, that prophet once more, five times, grace. Elisha, John the Baptist, William Branham, Elijah, five times, not six, five. Moses and Elijah back in the scene. Not Moses now. Not Elijah now. Two witnesses. Where'd they go to Israel? What happens? They preach the word of God. What happens? They see the 144,000. Now what is it? Armageddon, it's all over. See, there you are. Certainly this in Acts 3:21-22 is Jesus Christ. But you see where people get confused. They get so wrapped up in the fact that God became flesh, that they forget that he went back. And Paul said, we don't know him after the flesh now. We know him after the spirit. And who brought that word and stood up in those days and said, he that heareth me is of God, and he that doesn't hear me is not of God? Who stood up with him and said, that if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God, let him have thus saith the Lord, or shut up and sit down? And Paul said, what came the word of God unto you, or came the word of God out of you? If it came to you only, then let him that spiritual prophet acknowledge that what I say, not what somebody else says, and argue about what I say is the commandment of God. We had the same man stand up, and he said, anything outside this message won't come to land. In other words, he said, nothing but what I say is thus saith the Lord, the word of God. You say, what kind of a man would dare to say that? The same kind of man as John, James, and Paul, and Peter. Well, you say, we don't hardly get them kind anymore. Yeah, that's true, but God promised one. He gave it to us. You say, well, I can't find that in the Word. Well, he happened along, so you better check your Word. That's what they said in Jesus' day. They said, we don't see that kind of fellow in the Bible. He said, you better check your Bible. You'll find it. Hey, man, I like that. Huh? Trouble with folk is they won't go in their Word. Just sit back and criticize. Okay? Come on, show me one, thus saith the Lord. Now, if anybody's got thus saith the Lord, then let every mouth be dumb. Let every brain be still. Let every head and heart bow in respect. Amen? That's where we stand. Who is this fellow in Acts? He's the Lord Jesus Christ. And what he didn't do in the days of his flesh, he's committed to do, and somehow, he's got to do it. You can't stop him doing it. Why, he said in Isaiah 61, I'm here to preach except for the day of the Lord, the year of the Lord, and the day of the vengeance of our God, and comfort those that mourn. He only did one of them. He's got to do two of them. And you do it. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, how's he going to do it? That's his business. But I'll tell you one thing. He's not going to come back in his flesh to do it all. Because how in the world can he come back in the day of his flesh to announce the day of the judgment of our God when the Bible distinctly says he can't come back except he does come in judgment and he'll destroy everything. So somehow he's got to do it beforehand. Huh? What was God doing, brother, sister, before he became flesh? What was he doing when this earth was one great big chaotic mess after he had made everything perfect and somehow the devil was thrown down here? God knows, I don't know. But this beautiful world was thrown into chaos and there was nothing but water and an abysmal mess. And then the Spirit of God began to move. And hallelujah, I'm looking for the same Spirit of God to begin to move. In fact, I've seen the same Spirit of God move. And his name is Jesus Christ. He's done it. He's doing it. He'll continue to do it. Hear him tonight. Get back to the Word, brother, sister. We're at the time of the end. He said, when I speak that last time, I'll still be in heaven. I still won't have come for you, but I'm going to speak. And I'm going to shake it. And you know what he did? The prophet threw a stone in the air. And he said, judgment is beginning on the west coast. And it's going to keep shaking until it shakes right down. And Los Angeles, the graveyard of the preachers, and that west coast goes under, sinks in the bottom of the ocean. You think there's not an earthquake fault? What made Billy Graham suddenly prick his ears up about L.A. going down? By studying the map, he found the same fault, the San Andreas fault, goes right under the Mount of Olives, where Jesus steps down and an earthquake appears. Yeah. Oh, they're mocking that too. Sure. Oh, the men that claimed they got the Holy Ghost, they said, that fellow that judged everybody, God sure judged him. But that man consorts with popes and thinks that anybody talks in tongues got the Holy Ghost. Okay. Now, don't expect the world to recognize, brother, sister, if it's a revelation. I'm not here to hurt your feelings, but if you don't understand, I feel sorry for you and I love you. It's not your fault. If you can't see, you can't see. But if you're destined to see, you'll see. And you won't think that bunch is just a bunch of fanatics. You'll begin to say that bunch right after all. That's right. You begin to see that. Because the Bible does say it. Okay. The full revelation. All that the prophet said. Believe it. See? And there's light. The Lord bless you. Shall we rise this time? Gracious Heavenly Father, we love you tonight, Lord, not because we had anything in us to love you, but that you loved us. And Lord, we have seen your beauty, and we have heard you, not because we had eyes that others did not have and ears that others did not have, but Lord, you opened our eyes and you opened our ears. Father, when we stood back, like Nicodemus of old, and wondered just what this was all about, there was a certain something there, and it spoke of God. But we were confused. You opened our eyes and our understanding, or we would still be confused. Now, Father, we thank you for the fact that you have helped us. And Lord, except for your help, we would be as Sodom and Gomorrah. That's exactly right. Just what your prophet said, except for the Lord, we are Sodom and Gomorrah. No hope. Shut out of the ark of safety. Talking about God. Worshiping God. Claiming. Praising. Yet, just talk. Now, Lord, tonight, we know that our minds have been opened to the Word. And these minds, Lord, are turning from corrupted to incorruptible by the Word of God. So that there can be no beguiling. Knowing, Lord, when we come to that place where we cannot be moved by any word of doctrine or any sleight of men. We have grown up into Christ. Then cometh the resurrection. Then cometh the rapture. Nobody adding a word. Nobody taking away. The book unsealed. Nobody can shut it. And we're living in the life of it. And we believe, Lord, that anything else outside of that life could not come into the resurrection. It gives us a funny feeling, Lord, around our heart to say it. But, Father, we're standing on the words of a man who came in your name and said, "Thus saith the Lord," and you backed him up because you said if it wasn't you, the words would not come to pass, and we had no reason to hear him or to fear him. And, Lord, it's come to pass just like you said. Now, Lord, I want my heart and the hearts of this people for your glory to be turned right back to the reality, Christ the living Word, by the message of the hour, anointed by the Holy Ghost in every mind and heart, till every one of us becomes the personification of the Word of the hour in the measure which it can be given to us as individual members, until, Lord God, as a perfect body identified, we can walk right into eternal life without missing a heartbeat or a breath or one step. Now, Lord, tonight what I've asked is absolutely compatible with your word on the ground that we are the election of God. And, Lord, I just cannot throw away from us tonight the hope that we have, because we do believe, Lord, to the very best of our ability. And you said through the voice of your apostle Paul that whatever we didn't understand in hand, the grace, your own grace, was sufficient to reveal it and bring it to us. So in thee, Lord, tonight we have an utmost hope that you that have begun the good work will perform it until the day of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we have been sealed to the day of our redemption. And, Lord, our redemption is nearer than when we first believed. We're almost 7 years closer since the prophet has gone on. Surely, Lord, if the tares are ripening, the wheat is ripening also. Oh, Lord, the people might not believe it, but it's going on anyway. Hallelujah. Lord, in thee we trust tonight. Father, bless everyone here in divine presence to increase in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the eyes of their understanding being opened, that they may know him whom to know aright is life eternal, that they may be one with him and with each other until the full power of the resurrection becomes manifest. Now, Lord, I'm praying that way because that's the way Paul prayed. And I know, Lord, that you heard him because he was of God. And if I stand in that same place with my prayer, not being in his place, but in the place you put me with the same prayer and the same word and the same faith, then, Lord, we know tonight that there's got to be an answer. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus, let the people by faith hold their heads a little higher in the heavenly places. Hold their hearts a little higher in the heavenly places. Walk in paths a little higher in the heavenly places. Oh, God, as the path of the righteous shineth more and more to the perfect day, let us behold ourselves in the Word until the glory of God is manifested in these countenances. Oh, Jesus, as we look in that Word, may the reflection sound back to the glory of God. Lord, you know we're asking. We're asking the limit tonight. We're asking for the reality of the end time. And we're asking it on the grounds of the faith of the vindicated Word. Oh God, if any thinking is wrong tonight, correct it, I pray. And if anyone has any difference of thought, Lord, and let at least we'll love each other and not be critical or fight over, but to just love each other and believe and hope to the end as a real bride would hope for the salvation of every soul involved. God forgive us tonight for allowing any animosity or for any thought, Lord, of literally writing off the record those also that hope to be part of Thee because there is a difference. God forgive us for our presumption. For we know, Lord, there's one showdown coming, and that's Mount Zion. That's the day, Lord. Until that day, Lord, when we rise in Your likeness, forbid, Lord, that any heart become presumptuous. Lord, I pray for my own heart, as well as the hearts of the people, because I've got to bear my own burden, the same as they got to stand on their feet. God, circumcise these hearts. Try the reins and reveal any wickedness in us. Cast out anything, Lord, that smacks of impurity. Cast out anything, Lord, that doesn't reflect Thy glory. Father, we're asking You. We're asking You, Lord. Help us. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be all power and glory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you. Let's just go quietly as we sing that little song. We'll walk in the light.